Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning.
So tell me now about how Twitter is able to predict crime.
Well, to be clear, it's not like Minority Report in that it's not predicting a specific crime, like Jesse's going to rob a bank, therefore we should arrest him as soon as possible, but more in how it influences the planning and allocation of police resources, i.e., how crime data as a whole is collected, and the way in which Twitter, when combined with that crime data, substantially improves the accuracy of where crimes are most likely to be predicted. Generally speaking, this crime data breaks crimes into 25 different categories, and 19 of those 25 categories were substantially improved when social media data was added. And these are often petty crimes like gambling or criminal damage or stalking that often police don't have the resources to pursue, but with social media helps identify which particular neighborhoods or areas they should be allocating greater attention towards.
No, of course, there's got to be something simpler than hashtag crime and searching. So how exactly was this conducted?
Well, they used the city of Chicago as a kind of petri dish and took tweets from January to March of last year, 2013, all of which had GPS coordinates, so they could verify that they were in fact in the city limits of Chicago, and then map them out in terms of little 1 square kilometer areas. Think of them as large city blocks. And then proceeded to do a statistical topic modeling, which is a kind of linguistic analysis that looks at the content of tweets. So, for example, tweets that were near O'Hare Airport in Chicago were often about travel and involved words like flight or delayed or canceled. But over the rest of the city, they were able to get an alarmingly accurate sense of where crime was going to be committed. And to be clear, they were looking at data from January to March of 2013, so they were then able to predict where the crimes were going to be in, say, April or May of 2013, which technically is still in the past, so they were able to compare their predictions to what actually happened. And that's where they were shocked at the extent to which Twitter dramatically improves the accuracy by adding more depth to the data to help augment what crime data, if you think about it, is basically police reports, what police see and how people call 911. Then you add in social media, and all of a sudden, there's a much greater way of understanding where crime occurs and therefore where officers should be spending more time.
So, was there anything in these tweets specifically that would describe crimes or that would point you in the direction that a possible crime was about to happen?
Not really, no. I mean, it's rather abstract in terms of how this data then influences the crime prediction. And if you think about it, to say use a stolen car as an example, it's not as if the criminal tweets, "Ha ha, I just stole a car, woohoo!" But perhaps the owner of the car tweets, "Damn, I just had my car stolen." Or maybe someone takes a photo of glass on the ground saying, "Hey, wow, looks like someone's car was stolen." So think of it more as the after effect or the wake of crime, that it's more in terms of how the neighborhood or the community sees its impact. Maybe people tweeting that they hear a lot of alarms going off or they hear a lot of activity really early in the morning. So it's all stuff that doesn't speak directly to, say, the evidence of the actual crime, but does speak to the kind of broader impact, the broader presence of crime that does make, especially with smaller crimes, it easier for policy planners to figure out which priority neighborhoods should be getting more attention.
Really interesting. And then when you take that and look at what's happening across the world, like Turkey, for example, their government has blocked access to Twitter. So what does, I guess, that juxtapose say in contrast to what the Twitter data can say, how valuable it is to those who make the big decisions?
Well, think of it as the head in the sand syndrome, that it's rather than, as you say, understanding the value of Twitter to help manage crowds, to help identify protesters, even to help engage those protesters, try to win them over to your side. Instead, the Turkish government has decided that if they hear no evil, if they see no evil, perhaps nobody will say any evil, which, of course, is as effective a strategy as banging your head repeatedly to increase your intelligence. And the other, a rather opposite effect, is that by trying to block Twitter, what they've done is actually increase the literacy of Turkish citizens who now have figured out how to get around those blocks, how to circumvent any attempt of the government to censor, whether using private networks or using anonymization technology. So where the government tried to block Twitter to prevent people from learning about corruption charges, what they ended up doing was driving more people to Twitter to learn about those corruption charges. So rather than use Twitter data to help them, instead by ignoring Twitter data, it's almost as if they've inevitably ended their regime. It's just a matter of when, not if.
So what are the ways can we use the data that Twitter collects to predict and analyze other areas?
Well, I think the real lesson here is how valuable Twitter can be for public policy planning and public service delivery. Especially when you think of how often social media is dismissed as being superficial and useless. But the reality is that it offers such a large sample, such a large volume of data, that pretty much any purpose, I suspect, this kind of data would help influence what people are doing and what they need. So, for example, Twitter's already being used for public health purposes in terms of, say, tracking the spread of the flu. Can also be used for transportation planning in terms of looking at where potholes, where traffic jams, where people complain about having to go from point A to point B. It also helps in terms of public service delivery, whether those are government services, employment services. People are going to tweet about it. They're going to tweet about their experience. And all that complaining, I mean, that can actually help influence the better, more efficient delivery of said services. So I think it's right across the board, let alone what we do know is happening in terms of marketing, of trying to figure out what people buy and why they buy to sell them more stuff. I mean, you name it. This kind of data can be incredibly empowering to decision makers. It's just a question of whether they have the literacy to know that it's available and it could help them. And that's where I think there's an advantage for certain public departments, certain governments, to really start ramping up how they use data to make government more efficient and allow those savings to benefit taxpayers as a whole.
The true opinion poll.
The random opinion poll, because they don't even know that people are paying attention. So maybe they're being honest.
Maybe they are. Well, thanks for creeping us out yet again, Jesse.
Thank you.